We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
I happen to be training for a triathlon right now. Doing a lot of running, cycling, swimming. Well, you know all about that.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
No, actually, I don't. I play real sports. I'm trying to be the best at exercising.
With Dusty Hera.
You got to let the chest meat flow a little bit.
That's what I'm going to be doing every single night. Dollar, dollar bills, y'all.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
When your mouth is moving, Cam is not a listener.
You know what? I can already tell that I don't like you, and I'm probably not going to like you, no matter how many pull-ups or push-ups you do.
You clearly don't understand the employer-employee relationship.
Dusty and Cam on 1080.
I guess I'm starting to, and I don't like it.
The Fan.
All right, hour number three, Dusty and Cam in the mornings. Heard him Bucks update their little breaking Blazers news via the Oregonian that collabs out as a play-by-play man for the Blazers television broadcast, which is a wild development here.
That sure is. That just shocked me.
Yeah, I wonder what direction they're going to go in for. Now, broadcasters will not be going down to Orlando. They're going to be doing them from home. So it would be those games would be doing being done in the studios at Moda Center, in the bowels of Moda Center there. But I wonder who they're going to have step in for Calabro, because both TV and radio are still going to be going on as scheduled. But Kevin Calabro was short run as a Blazers broadcast play-by-play man.
Who am I? You want
five or 6 years? Is that it?
It means the Sonics are coming back. He's heading back up. I cut my teeth with collabs as a Sonics.
He's a great play-by-play man.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin was just. I mean, I could hear it in my sleep.
And a hell of a nice guy too.
Unbelievable.
Hornswoggle, befuddled.
Yeah. Wow. But apparently, it was his decision. So yeah. there's that to think about.
I wish him luck. Wherever he's gone, I mean, Collabs is awesome.
Yep. All right, a little college football for you. Now, UCLA and Cal, their worries with Under Armour wanting to back out of their deals, they might just be beginning for both of those two schools. As, you know, you sit there and you look at the Under Armour deal was, what, $280 million for UCLA? And then it was, I think, an $89 million deal for Cal, or $86 million. And you're seeing that Under Armour's stock is just plummeting, and it's going nowhere. They've gone from $43 a share down to $9 per share. They probably should have gotten into the shoe game, you know?
Why not?
Because they're seeing that going up against the shoe giants, you're just not making very much traction, and there's a lot of overhead for it.
I don't mind rolling the dice on what you do. You know, you got Steph Curry. I mean, you got some big name athletes. Well, they happen to hit Corona.
Well, they've also
virus.
Oh, they were struggling way before that.
I know, but to say that Nike's the only thing left. I mean, they're not.
Adidas,
I don't believe in a monopoly.
No.
So to say that company shouldn't try, or they probably shouldn't have, I think, yeah, I mean, that you got to go back to L.A. Gear. We can go to all these classic shoe companies. Eventually, I mean, even Converse got bought by Nike. We understand Nike's the big guy. He's the hot girl.
Well, it's Nike.
He. That doesn't make any sense. If he's the hot girl, that doesn't make any sense. You got to try.
It's Nike, Adidas, New Balance. All of them. They're the giants of the shoe game. Puma even has had a big resurgence as of late.
You didn't even mention Reebok.
No, but they're not anymore.
Well, they were.
They were.
You said there was an AI. I mean, yeah, you gotta
I love
do
AI
what you gotta
issues.
Do. I don't mind that Under Armour did that.
But it has turned out to be not a very good move. They had one year where they had Curry win the championship, Tom Brady won the championship, and then Jordan Spieth took home, I think, two majors in one year. In one year.
So let me ask you this question then.
But they're falling way, 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 way behind. So now you have Cal and UCLA, and they're just saying it's not worth it because UCLA isn't performing on the field. That's the big thing, is what they're saying, is that they're not getting the marketing value that they thought they would.
We all know that sustainability, certainly in business, of course, if you're in the apparel business or shoe market, you're dependent on trends and all that stuff and staying ahead of the game, and that's understandable. But you just mentioned it. They were at the top of the game. At one point in time, they reached the top. I say you're 15 minutes, and you got to go. If you would have told the guy that's selling shirts out of the back of his car that at some point in time you'd be a top five, top two, top three brand in America and have a great run, do you think he would be like, yeah, let's go? And if it fails, it fails. Businesses fail all over the restaurants fail like there's no tomorrow. Eventually, you just want to give it a shot. You can't just like – I don't think throw shade at something that was worked and it was successful at some time. Yeah, it wasn't sustainable, but at least you said, man, I was at the top.
Yeah, and they went all in on the shoe game. They did, but then I think...
Never owned a pair. I have never tried them.
No, the Curries didn't.
Never tried it.
They were, remember the roasting that the Curries got?
It's because they looked like
nurses'
monarchs.
Shoes.
Yeah, it was a bad design.
But they nailed the apparel, and apparel is what they were... They were kings at that.
The apparel was great. The other thing, too, is someone had pointed out at some point in time, it just almost became sport to roast whatever came out of theirs. That, like, some of the shoes, like the Yeezys that Kanye pumps out, like, don't look good.
No.
They're just, but people like them and buy them and spend a ton of money on them because
trendy.
Of the name.
And it's branding.
Yeah.
It's all about branding and how you market it.
Always struggled with their logo as being something that's, it's kind of like the Reebok logo. It's, you know, Nike is so simple with the swoosh and some of the, and Adidas,
It's just three stripes.
It's three stripes. The logo is under, I mean, it's great. It looked great on a shirt, how it portrayed. It's just, it works.
Yep. They forced Nike and Adidas to change their apparel.
Competition is
dry
great.
Dry fit.
And Nike won't be the last. There'll be another company that comes along. If Under Armour ends up dropping, somebody will start something else up and they'll come right along and they'll just go after it for a little while.
But that might be just the beginning of UCLA and Cal's worries, because John Wilner of the San Jose Mercury News says there's bigger issues that they could be facing as well. Not just losing, you know, what I think it's $9 million a year for UCLA on the Under Armour deal and $3.5 million for Cal on the Under Armour deal. Mm-hmm. But both of those schools could get ditched by Learfield and IMG, which... Those are the ones that do their radio broadcasts.
Correct.
$8 million a year for Cal, $15 for UCLA.
So that's why early in the show I said, don't root for sports to be gone, folks. Don't try to say that okay, there is a way we can make this happen and maintain this. But if you're rooting for sports to be gone, then you're rooting for universities, businesses to fail and jobs to be gone and all these other things, because this is radio. Every medium you think that will cover sports won't happen anymore. And so that means that what? Coaches don't get as paid, not as many scholarships. Maybe we don't get television. All those types of things are just going to dwindle off. But on a positive note, if you're UCLA, you do have an offer. You do have an offer to take up one from exactly what Under Armour. They came right back over the top and said, you know what? We have an offer for you. UCLA has not accepted the offer yet, but Cam Soda stepped up with a 10-year, $205 million offer to UCLA to replace what Under Armour had offered to UCLA.
So to have a adult Cam site be on your jerseys.
Right. I think that...
I have a feeling that's not going to fly. I appreciate the hustle of Cam Soda, though. They're on it from Gardner Minshew. Now this
10 years, $205 million.
Do it. What do you have to lose? You're gonna. But this is the point, though. If Learfield and IMG, and this isn't just a Cal UCLA issue.
No, this is sports.
They're gonna take a look at all of their brands and say, which one are we not getting returns on? because at that point we need to figure out if we want to stick with them or not. And this could be that bigger separation. We talk about the separation from the Power Five and the Group of Five. There's going to be a bigger separation between the Power Five in this, your haves and have nots, because the brand of UCLA doesn't mean as much anymore. I mean, it really doesn't. And that should be the biggest shot to UCLA, is that you have two of your biggest partners going, you know, we're not getting anything out of you guys. You need to get your ass together right now. And they have not for a long, long time. And look, we're laughing at this Cam soda thing right now. But if a more reputable company comes along, don't you think that they might be starting to ponder that if they're going to have to make up revenues somewhere? Because if you if you're UCLA and you're losing $24 million a year,
it's just cuts. I mean, everybody's cutting. Name a business out there that's not cutting.
No,
whose
absolutely
business
there
is growing? So whose business is growing right now? Are we in the growing business other than weed?
Hand sanitizer and toilet paper.
Weed?
Weed, too. Alcohol. They're growing. But
yeah,
that's
scary, man.
But that's where you're sitting at, though, and looking at, are we going to see a bigger separation between the Power Fives? Because I guarantee you, Learfield, IMG, they're not saying this about Oregon. They're not saying it about Washington or USC.
Yet, because those are Adidas's.
Huh?
You have Nike and Adidas still in the play. I mean, those are schools, and Nike's going to, they're going to ask for money back soon.
No, I'm talking about Learfield and IMG sitting there looking at their properties that are revenue generators, and they, you know, they're, it's worth the value. And you're right. They're probably going to sit there and say, hey, we need to renegotiate this deal because we can't afford to pay whatever it is, you know, but you're going to see some teams get dropped altogether. Now, should be noted, both UCLA and Cal, their administrators are saying, hey, we feel like Under Armour and this Learfield IMG, we don't think that those are going to be going away, but both Cal and UCLA. But at least Under Armour has it built into their contract where, hey, if a force majeure, as we learned in the NBA, means an act of God happens, this would be one where they could get out of those deals.
Can I also ask the listener, anybody out there, isn't it kind of concerning to tell you that a major brand, and that's fair to say that Under Armour is a big time brand. They are.
They are.
Picked the Pac-12 to jump ship from first.
Yeah. What other schools are they repping? They're repping.
I understand they were large contracts and it's part of out here on the west side. And I think they wanted to come after Nike. Of course, they wanted to, because Nike's in Oregon here and West Coast and the strength of Nike. But you're dumping the Pac-12 out, and Utah, you're probably next.
They have gotten Notre Dame, South Carolina, Maryland, Northwestern, Texas Tech, Temple, Cal, Wisconsin, Cincinnati.
And they picked UCLA and Cal to go first. That is another slap to the Pac-12.
It's a big one.
We don't need you. We think you're the worst. So let's keep Texas Tech as we speak right now. Let's keep Wisconsin. My God. Notre Dame makes sense. I mean, Notre Dame is a huge brand. I mean, that one makes sense. But let's dump those Pac-12 teams because they don't bring any value.
Well, those are two teams that have been at or near the bottom of the Pac-12 as well. And if you look at it, Notre Dame is one that they're getting return on. Texas Tech as well, because look, they national championship game, right? They've been on a massive stage. Yep. Wisconsin is at least going to Big Ten championship games and Rose Bowls. That's something that neither of those schools are saying. And Utah at least is going to Pac-12 championship games, although they've been unsuccessful in winning them. You know, I'm with you. It is a horrible look that two of your California schools are on the chopping block.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you're just not getting that good enough marketing exposure for them.
Well, they're not getting a return on investment is what they're saying. Business tells you is that the value of a Pac-12 team does not hold to the strength of what other football teams in the country give them. It's an economic decision, and that is another reason for the Pac-12 to be concerned about ever being the Pac-12 any much longer as it continues. And the bigger brands, you mentioned it, if the return on investment is USC, Oregon, and Washington, if those are your return on investments here, what's to say in this decade those teams are gone and they join up with other return on investment groups?
It's a great point. It's a great point, because just having a flashy market and a huge student body a la UCLA isn't doing it for these schools anymore, or these companies anymore.
Well, it's because they're not winning, too. If they come back to winning, everyone will be jumping on board. But that's what Chip Kelly and that's what UCLA basketball is supposed to be able to do. Their softball program has won a national championship. Their baseball team is big time, but that doesn't sell. You know what sells? Football and basketball.
Yep. 503-250-1080. Some of your feedback on this. Plus, we take a look at a diet that is taking the world by storm. Dusty and Cam on the Fan. All right, 503-250-1080. That's a Fan text line. Your feedback coming in. We were talking about UCLA and Cal getting ditched by Under Armour, and John Wilner of the San Jose Mercury News says Learfield IMG might be wanting out of not just their contracts, but some of the contracts that they have around the country where they're just not making that much money off of the programs, and it's not worth the cash anymore with the way our economy is going, and COVID has changed every business.
Yeah, just so those that don't understand what IMG or Learfield is, they are a middle marketing company for the radio rights for a lot of universities and schools. And so what they do is they sell advertising for the rights for the radio programs.
Yeah, and they pay for the broadcast too. Correct. They put the broadcast
right
out.
They do that. They're like Westwood One is for the NFL, along the same lines for how you get those broadcasts. And so that's a big deal.
Yeah,
that's a huge deal, because if you don't have radio partners for that and they're jumping ship and all of that and they want to get out of these contracts, next thing you know, that's just less media coverage and less opportunity.
Yeah, no doubt about that. 503-250-1080. Been saying it for years. Under Armour's not a shoe company. They make undergarments. Stay in your lane. Stop trying to compete with Nike and stick with underwear. I wonder if that person works at Nike.
Wonder.
You know? Probably.
I wonder.
Probably. And then we have, you know, it is a lot. You know, they're saying it's not about not enough return on UCLA and Cal, but it's more just a way to get out of paying them as they're struggling so bad. Absolutely it is. It's a tough thing to go through when you're sitting there finding ways to cut, you know, and my goodness, every company's going through these right now. And it just, the part that you brought up, and this is the big one, is that it's seemingly only happening to Pac-12 programs. And that's a big indictment on where the Pac-12 is right now.
Well, if you're a businessman, I mean, are you going to invest in stuff that doesn't give you anything?
Nope.
I mean, is the Pac-12 valuable right now, according comparisons to other areas and other conferences? It's last. So if you're a business person, you're probably going to invest in the other things. It makes sense. I mean, that's just logic.
Yep.
It's disappointing, but it's logical.
Yep, we'll see where it goes from here. As you know, Cal, UCLA, boy, it's getting bad for them. And they, by the way, both those programs were already facing massive shortfalls budgetary wise, and it could be getting worse. We've got a little diet news going on, because Bryson DeChambeau has bulked up. He said that he was wearing a size medium last year, and he's up to an XL now. He's jumped 2 shirt sizes in a very short time. And everybody's wondering, all right, Bryson, outside of steroids, what are you doing to bulk up?
Well, that might be the whole quarantine question for a lot of people.
Except for Jokic and Gasol.
Yeah, how many shirt sizes have you gotten during this quarantine time, COVID virus?
I'm getting a little soft in the belly.
Mm-hmm.
Getting a little soft in the belly, that's for sure. But DeChambeau, he outlined what he eats, and my God, this sounds like a lot.
In the mornings, I usually have four eggs, 5 pieces of bacon, some toast, and 2 protein shakes, 2 Orgain protein shakes. And then throughout the course of the day, I'll have, you know, a Go Macro bar here and there. I'll have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I'll have another protein drink. I'll have at least 2 protein drinks on the golf course. So every, you know, 6 holes. So you know, 6, 12, and then after the round, I'll have one. After that, I'm snacking when I'm practicing. After, go back to the hotel, eat a dinner, steak, potatoes, then, and I'll have 2 protein shakes with it there as well. So, you know, I'm consuming around, I'd say 6 to 7 of those Orgain protein shakes a day now, where I used to be, you know, 2 or 3. So as I've upped the weight, upped everything, I just had to consume a lot more. Luckily, I like the taste of those shakes, so I can take those pretty easily.
What would be your caloric intake?
Shoot, I have no idea. Probably if you were to add all that up, it'd be around 3,000 to 3,500, I think, something like that.
Immediately after he said that, people actually went in and counted for him.
Debunked him.
4,000 calories per day.
I was going to say close to 5 is what I was going to say.
Yeah, 4,000. Because you just never know with the shakes, but he at least dropped the brand of the protein shake, which...
Nice little plug there.
That's going to be on his bag.
That's going to be there tomorrow.
Yeah, that'll be on his bag.
Guess what we have? A new shipment. There you go.
Hey, we got a whole bunch of great stuff. Now, that is 4,000 calories a day. That is an insane diet. And then he was talking about how he's, in addition to playing like at least one round of golf, he's also working out.
He is.
Every single day lifting. And he's not doing it just for like...
Actually, Dusty, you'd be surprised how easy 4,000 calories is to consume in today's world.
Really?
Yeah. There are 1,000 calorie drinks at Dutch Brothers. There are, I mean, you can get, I'm not kidding you. Dutch Brothers, that's fine. Just go ask Mike Lynch what he consumed when he did his McDonald's challenge or anything like that. That's not hard to consume 4,000 calories. The issue is that Bryson is doing it to gain an advantage on the golf course because his swing has completely changed. I was looking at some of the analysis of what he's done. His driver carry distance went from 302 to 349, which means that his clubhead speed is upwards of 130 plus miles an hour to 150 miles an hour. He can end up getting it to if he wants it. So he has sacrificed what I would consider health of and maybe he feels more healthier, but he's doing this stuff to gain an advantage for what he believes is the future because he's of golf. Is that if you're hitting a wedge like he is and the other guy's hitting a 6-iron, that's a huge advantage. Mm-hmm. And that's how he's taken this concept. And that's what a lot of professional athletes do, especially in football. If I took pictures of the meals that these guys would consume and how they do that, the thing is once you're done with sports, that's not the same calorie intake, and that's what's hard is. But when you're done playing football, is that you can't eat like that when you're done because your body's not burning. But he's a pretty intense athlete, and I'm going to give it to Bryson DeChambeau, and that's intense to be able to maintain that because that's not easy. If you're a person that struggles to keep weight on, then that's to be able to eat like that. Oh man,
and that's the hard thing is 4,000 calories the right way is insanely hard to do. And he's doing it, man. Just eating all day long, eating and working out all day long. But this goes back to what you were talking about. Like Bryson DeChambeau is doing something that you said you've always wanted to do, which is if you could, you'd hire a personal chef just to go diet. Like that's all. And he is putting his money right at that and just saying, all right, hey, if I'm going to be the best athlete I can possibly be, I've got to do this the right way. And I'm going to just load up on healthy foods and look, it's working. He's driving what, 340 yards is what his driver's at?
Well, it's
right
not
now?
What he's averaging, but he can get up to, if he wants to, he can get up to well over that. But it just depends on what the situation is. But yeah, he's lapping the field, but he hasn't won yet. He's been there. It's interesting. It's like he's the new John Daly. He's kind of like what we all saw. He's like, oh my gosh, John Daly's hitting the ball forever. He hits it a mile. John Daly doesn't, he eats like crap and never works out. He said, you know what John Daly's legendary for? He said, you can't pull fat. That's why I don't work out. That's what he said. Well, anybody heard of you? I pulled a fat muscle.
There was a stat Daly. That they had on SportsCenter last night said that he gained an average of 13.6 strokes per round because of his driver.
Incredible.
And where he's at right now.
Incredible.
That's wild.
I seem to say drive for show, putt for dough. You still got to be able to putt.
Well, he's doing it. He's been finishing top tens, right?
Yeah, no, that's good. That is very good. It's true. If you can hit the ball a little bit further, it's a nice advantage. But to be able to maintain that, who could maintain that calorie intake like that?
I don't know if he can, though.
But he works out like a madman also. He's physically a lot stronger. So he's not fat. He's a little puffy, but he's not shredded. He's not the shredded monster, but he's just bigger, powerful.
Yeah. Big old dude. And driving par fours. He did that over the weekend. Drove the green on a par four. Yeah. I mean, he cut a dog leg, but still.
Happy Gilmore did that. Who cares?
Getting all that. Yeah. See, that was a documentary.
Yeah, big deal. He did it with hickory sticks.
I would love for the golf world needs a new John Daly or a Happy Gilmore type. Who is that guy right now that golf has? I don't think they have it.
Bryson. What are you talking about?
No.
There were two people.
A guy named Bryson can't be that guy.
Yeah, he can. He's weird. He's weird. His clubs are weird. His grips are weird. He hits it a mile. He's a scientist. He's kind of funny.
He's kind of nerdy.
But he doesn't break the mold of a golfer. He still seems like a golfer.
Happy Gilmore was like a personality.
And John Daly doesn't seem like a golfer. He seems like a dude who plays golf.
So you want the everyday man out there? Do you want another one of those?
The golf outlaw, the outsider.
Who's that dude from the UK? Beef Johnson? Remember that guy?
Yeah, it didn't stick. Beef Johnson. You guys remember Boo Weekly? Boo Weekly was a star for a little while.
Boo was great.
Gosh, such a great swing.
He was just a country boy for like a year and a half.
Just a country boy like that. So you're looking for the down south guy again?
That's who we need. You're not looking for country club Steven? Don't need a guy named Brandt or Bryson, you know?
Unfortunately, those guys don't play golf very often.
And Webb. You have guys that are finishing really well.
I know. So what are you trying to say? The stereotypes of golfers is that they look like that?
Yeah.
And act like that?
Absolutely. 100%. Uh-huh. And I want there to be the everyman out there.
Well, if you keep canceling football, everybody, and all these other sports, guess what all these other athletes are going to start playing?
Well, they're already doing it. They're already doing it right now. All right. 503-250-1080.
Would you watch a celebrity tour of just professional athletes that were professional athletes but are now trying to play professional golf or anything like that?
Do a different sport?
No. And watch a tour and just let them just play a real celeb tour. Kind of like, you know, what we saw versus the match, but actually play.
Well, they have that in Tahoe every year.
Yeah, but I'm talking like weekly, like where these guys get out and play.
No, I probably wouldn't watch that.
Oh, yeah, you would. If the cameras are up close, saw like LeBron James playing against Steph Curry, you'd watch that all day long.
I mean, I think we have that with like, I mean, Dusty and I have both been to that celebrity championship in Tahoe, which is almost all former athletes from other sports.
Yeah.
And it's awesome, but I think it's awesome as a one-off. I'm not sure I'd want to see it every week.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
Once a month?
Yes. Yeah, I could get into that for sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Especially you build it up and you create like, I don't know, side competitions for long drive and long putt and things like that, kind of make it an event. That'd be cool.
What if you paired them with a professional golfer?
Yeah.
And did that.
Like the match, but just expand the field. I like that a lot.
There we go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, give me a little bit more. All right, 503-250-1080. The NFL, they may be in some uncharted territory when it comes to getting to away games. Here's Buck. Boy, it sure seems like the NFL is trying to wrap their heads around how to get this season going in home stadiums across the country. And Major League Baseball, you play three game sets, you're going to be on the road and you're staying in hotels. The NFL is kicking around the idea of traveling the day of games in order to minimize exposures in different places and get out of the hotels.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that is feasible to do in the National Football League?
I think you've got to have to consider it. I think you're going to have to consider it. And the way you probably do it, and you're just going to have to move games to going to be afternoon start times, get up and get out and fly, and probably do that to keep schedules. And if you're going to make sure, it's going to be very difficult to ask a Seattle Seahawks team if they fly to Carolina to get up at 4 a.m. and get on an airplane, but maybe you change the airplanes where they're all first. I don't know. I just think that you're going to have to consider every option, because if you can't secure a place and different reasons and different protocols and the safety of the players and the people are there, you just got to have to consider it.
Yeah. I mean, there's obviously teams back east, they have an advantage there. And every team out west is at a disadvantage because they're so far spread apart. Like, the entire AFC North, I mean, they could do this.
Yeah.
They could 100% do this when you're
talking
about.
If they played within their division, yeah.
Pittsburgh. Baltimore, Cincinnati, Cleveland. Yeah. You know, but there's no way that I think the Rams play the Jets week 2. You have the Seahawks go on the road a couple of times back east. Mm-hmm. That is not going to be feasible. But if it is within a reasonable distance, I mean, the flight from Pittsburgh to Cleveland, I mean, you just wheels up, wheels down. You can go and you can play a game in that.
Absolutely.
I'm wondering.
No big deal at all.
What the length is kind of going to be the max for some of these teams? Like, where do you draw the line and be like, okay, now we have to do it? Is it when you cross the time zone?
Yeah, Player Association will definitely get involved in that. And those negotiations will go on, because anybody that's ever flown knows that boy, you get dehydrated really quick. You go through a lot of your body. I mean, you put shoes on and then take your shoes off. Try to put your shoes back on when you get ready to land. I mean, your feet sweat. I mean, everything is different. So the advantage is definitely the home team. So that, but that's part of the deal. Maybe it just changes the odds. Instead of you have an 11-win team, maybe you're now a 10-10 win team. You might bump it down, but for safety, and if you're willing to do it as players, it's part of the protocol. Call it what it is. I want to say it's not that big of a deal, but if it gets you to playing in the season, do it. All of them are going to say, no problem, let's go. That, who cares? I mean, if it's a three-hour flight, oh, well, deal with it. You leave at 7 in the morning. The game's at 7 at night. You get there in 3 hours. You go to maybe you go to the stadium. They have something set up where the guys can rest. They can get some rehab. They can do some things like that. They have a place. Get warmed up, ready to go, fly out of there. Let's go. It's business.
The Players Association's fight on this, it would be an interesting one because, you know, the league, wouldn't they frame it as we're doing this for the safety of our players?
Sure.
You know? But then you brought up the good point of, hey, you get dehydrated when you're on a flight. What are all these guys going to have an IV stuck in their arm as they're flying on their flight? No. I mean, what are you going to do to combat that except for the owners just sit there and say, hey, well, drink more water leading up to the week of the game.
How many times have you seen a high school team getting a bus for 5 hours and play the same day?
Oh, yeah, it happens all the time.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not saying it's not possible to get on an airplane for an hour to 2 hours. I don't think they would do that to teams that have to fly big time coast to coast. They're just going to have to secure a facility that goes through protocols, and maybe they just pay an extra couple $1 million to say, make sure that this place is cleaned and sterilized and all the workers are tested prior to our arrival.
I have a question about the NFL, something that kind of flew under the radar, but I found it to be pretty interesting. See that the NFL gave, was it $1.37 million in grants for the creation of better and safer helmets? They gave it to four different companies, Zenith, Impressio, Collide, and the University of Virginia to create a better and safer helmet. Now, this is a part of the settlement of their lawsuit, the concussion lawsuit, but where I find it interesting is that, do you remember this conversation happening? It was probably 15, 20 years ago, maybe even longer than that it started, where the conversation was, you can't make a helmet too safe because then you're going to ramp up the neck injuries. Is that a long gone conversation in all of this?
You can't make a helmet too safe because you'll ramp up neck injuries.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Basically the concept, I guess, being that you won't rattle your dome the same way, but that'll just lead you to running at people at higher speeds.
Yeah, but that was also during a time when head contact was readily available.
And it was more prominent.
I mean, that makes that during that argument, that makes total sense because we were taught, every time we're taught to block, we're taught to use your head, you draw lower your head, get your pads down, use your hit with your face. All those things were taught. Now it's different. So I still think you can absolutely make the helmet so much better and continue to evolve in the helmet technology. But then the way the game is taught, it's just 100% safer for players in the head.
Yeah, I always found that a weird argument of, hey, well, they're just going to have an uptick in the neck injuries. Well, I've been saying this since USA Football started their Heads Up program in the NFL, started funding that. Mm-hmm. It'll take a full generation of football players to adjust. And, you know, we're starting to see that now where you're getting guys that are in the NFL that is something that they started when they were in high school is that heads up program and a new way to tackle.
Yeah.
And the game is going to be safer in that regard. So then
the key word there is safer. It's not a safe game. So anybody wants to say it's a safe game, go play cornhole. So stay in the cornhole lane. Let the football players play a game that is difficult. It's not safe.
No.
But that reality for some out there is really hard to wrap. It's not safe. Well, I know that. We all know that.
Yeah.
Okay. But the evolution of football has been so amazing this last decade. It's been amazing, the changes. I'm telling you, just it's been awesome to watch what football has become and how much more of an enjoyable game it really is. Think back to the games and how much more fun it is to watch a football game. Maybe it just is. The offense, the strategies, the the athletes, the different, and it's not just like watching big old shoulder pads and everybody running the wing tee up the middle. No, it has become a very space game, safe tackling. It's just fantastic.
I will give you a few nuggets that'll make your hump day the best in quite some time. Next on The Fan. All right, I got a little piece of optimism for you on this hump day, Wednesday. We are finally in July. Finally in July. Which means this month.
Halfway point.
Tomorrow it is.
Halfway.
Exact halfway point of this godforsaken year.
Second half. Let's go. We're second half team. Let's go, Tom Brady. Let's go. 28-3.
In July, the NBA is back. Major League Baseball is back. Yeah. MLS is back. WNBA is back. NHL is back. NWSL is playing. NFL training camps open. And titles over in Europe in La Liga and Serie A will all be happening this month.
Let's go.
Get ready. That is a lot. Like, we've had nothing from March till now. Now, all of those coming back this month. And I, for one, am excited about that. My God, the wait is over. We're here. We finally did it. Also good news.
The way.
Also great news. Jay Cutler has solved his mystery.
Oh, he has. They found the killer.
Yeah.
Who was it? Coyote.
I think we need a little background here. I don't know that we've discussed.
Oh, that's real. Okay, all right. I didn't know that this was a deal. I didn't know this was going to make it in today, but okay.
Well, Jay Cutler has been profiling on Instagram his chickens being murdered at his farm, and he has no idea.
Natural selection.
No idea who or what was killing his chickens. Were they being sacrificed? Was it an animal on the list? He has got it. It was a raccoon.
Yeah.
A raccoon has been coming in and killing his chickens. Wait, I did not know.
Oh, yeah.
Raccoons eat meat.
Oh, what? Trash pandas?
I don't know.
Those guys are, yeah, man.
I think they'll eat anything.
They absolutely eat anything.
They got him, though. They got Jay Cutler. The raccoons.
So what do you do if you have a raccoon that is a chicken killer? Do you take care of the raccoon problem?
Yeah, and I don't think he's calling animal control.
I don't think you need to.
No, I don't think he's going to do that.
You handle your problem. You're on a farm. You're a farm. You're chickens. Chickens have lives.
Yeah.
Chicken lives matter.
The chickens are going in waves right now due to the raccoon. Yeah. And the raccoon he will be taken care of. It will be a
swift.
Case closed. He put up a chair in a tree so he could stake out his chicken coop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'd be doing the same thing, man. I'd be doing the same thing. You got to protect your house.
Personally, I preferred Jay's previous mystery, which I saw on their very Cavallari show a couple of years ago, where they were trying to figure out why their chickens weren't laying any eggs. So he decided for days he was going to follow one of them around until he realized it was not a chicken, but a rooster. That's why they weren't laying eggs.
That would be a problem. That would be a problem.
I've heard that is an issue in the chicken raising world, is that if you have a bunch of roosters, you're not going to get any eggs. That's a big...
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad that Jay's living his best single life now. Good. That, you know, he and Kristen
sounds like
are
he and
done.
Kristen are parted ways. I mean, best for them. Good. Right. It works. Well, quarantine debacle.
Well, yeah, they were on vacation together. Weren't they stuck in the Bahamas or something?
Quarantine in the Bahamas for like a month.
One last run.
Man.
One last run.
Man.
Yeah.
So the long-awaited resolution to the chicken saga is done with Jay Cutler.
Well, I was losing sleep over it.
Good. Yeah, me too. I think the whole world was waiting with bated breath, but we did find a resolution to it, and Jay Cutler, it was a raccoon.
Fascinating.
Yep. The Oakland A's are jumping on board with an idea that they ripped off from their cross-bay rivals, the San Francisco Giants, but they've one-upped the Giants. They're selling cardboard cutouts.
Have they, though?
What?
Have they one-upped them?
Well, yeah, they're selling their cardboard cutouts. I think they've won down to them. For $129, you can get a season ticket for yourself to be at an Oakland A's game. We have a cardboard cutout of you sitting with famous people from Oakland or A's fans. And if you get hit with a foul ball, they will send that foul ball to you in the mail.
So my understanding was it's an extra $40 if you want to do the foul ball program.
Ridiculous.
Wait, what?
I read it was $89 if you want your cutout.
$89?
And $129 if you want the foul ball program.
Well, you got to print. You got to put the print. What if you did a 3D print? Yeah, I mean, they're putting Al Davis as his own 3D statue. Why can't they put a little 3D model of you sitting in there?
I think that would cost more, probably.
Probably, yes, right. $89
for a cardboard.
Let's be
honest, the A's aren't exactly splurging for a 3D printer.
Good point. I think.
But the Giants, they're just giving this to their season ticket holders. They're like, we know you can't be here. We're going to throw a cardboard cutout of you in your seat. And Giants. The A's are like, hey, that's a great idea. Let's charge people for it.
Don't you think
that's the ultimate A's thing to do?
It really is.
It is. And if they sell out the stadium with these at $129 a piece, that's $7.7 million.
Gotta make up our revenue some way, somehow.
I bet that they, what do you think they get? They probably only get
20%
of the stadium.
25%. Yeah.
Of a 60,000 seat stadium?
25%.
Wow.
I wouldn't even want my cardboard cutout to go in that dump box.
That would be about 15,000 tickets that they're or what the are they
average
they
what's their attendance average? You got to imagine it'll be a probably percentage about, of whatever that is.
Probably 15,000 to 20,000 is what they were getting for games.
I feel
last
good
year.
About my guess,
but I think they probably get 25% of that number, 15,000. You probably are. You're,
I just
you're
said 25%. So whatever that number is, 25%.
Perfect. And case closed. Look at that. Another mystery solved here on Dusty and Cam in the morning. But. Mm. I think it is a good idea to have something like that. What I think is ridiculous is that you're sitting there and you're having these franchises tell their fans, hey, by the way, we're not going to have fans in the stands. It's okay if you don't buy your season tickets this year. You can keep them for next year. Like, that was news in the NFL that all these teams were being like, hey, you're not going to have to go on a wait list if you don't renew your season tickets this year. There's no fans in the stands. It should be like something that you don't even have to tell people.
So you get a holding fee is what you're saying, is the A's are going to be like, to be able to buy your tickets next year, you have to give us a deposit to hold your tickets potentially for those next. Is that what they're trying to say?
I would no. They're just saying this is something that you can do.
And don't pretend that there are going to be teams that don't do that.
And it would probably be the Oakland A's.
Well, it's going to be a lot of teams.
Miami Marlins.
But I don't think the Oakland A's have a wait list.
Probably not.
That's true.
Do they have a special section? Like, you know, the Mariners have the Diamond Club.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have a club level?
Yeah,
also,
they have
I'm sure
that.
They do.
What
they
is it called?
I think they're called the Diamond Seats.
Okay.
And how much do they charge you for that?
That's a good question. I don't actually
because know. That doesn't
What's
seem
a
like
Giants
it would
Giants diamond section cost. That can't be
pretty
cheap.
Expensive.
Whew, boy,
that is pretty expensive.
I got to sit in those once with a potential client, and they were awesome. Yeah. You're actually like dug into the ground, so your eyes are at ground level with like all the batters.
Do you have a
right
waiter and a waitress?
You have like little order servers. Forms, and they'll swing by, pick up your order, come back with it.
Yeah. Spectacular.
You said a potential client.
And?
Yeah, it wasn't my client.
No.
It was a guy who was trying to land a Lexus deal, one of my coworkers, and one of their people bowed out. And so he's like, hey, we have an extra seat. So it wasn't mine. I was a tag along for someone else pursuing a client.
I was going to say, did you screw up the deal?
Nope.
Deal get closed?
The deal that I closed with tickets was with LeBron James courtsides and a legal firm. I closed a large deal by saying, listen, if you can do this deal today, you can go watch LeBron courtside tonight. And it worked.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
See, that's a closer.
I mean, he was, it was the one time that year he was coming to Golden State. So,
well, bam. Look at that. Other news of note today here, especially in Portland, the Oregonian is reporting that Kevin Calabro and the Portland Trailblazers have parted ways, and that it was Kevin Calabro's decision to do so.
It's not just the fact that he's not going to do broadcasts during the quarantine time or what the bubble is. This is a full move.
That's what it appears to be. Apparently, the Blazers will announce it later on today, but no information on that yet. So Calab's out. I hope this doesn't mean they reset the broadcast team again, because I really do enjoy Lamar Hurd quite a bit.
I do too.
I think Lamar is awesome.
Yep.
And I thought Calabro was really good too.
Yeah.
Do we start the Bring Back Barrett?
Well, Mike Barrett's fantastic. He's spectacular.
So he's got bigger fish to fry, people. He's bringing baseball
to Portland.
Bringing
baseball
back.
I mean, you can't. It's going to be hard.
Let's let him focus on that. And then once...
Or can he do both?
Once that happens, awesome. He can call baseball games and Blazer games.
Well, both.
We'll do that. All right. Up next, we got the Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon, noon to 3, Dirt and Sprague, 3 to 7. It's primetime with Isaac and Suk. Have a great Wednesday. We'll see you Thursday right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.